My, we are chatty this morning. Need to cut back on the caffeine in the coffee, I guess, huh? Yeah. Okay. Is it possible that people in a church like each other too much? Okay. So this morning we're continuing in the series that we've been talking about for the last five Sundays called What is the Gospel? And we've explored all sorts of different aspects of the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about five stories from the Old Testament that preached the gospel, talking about the fact that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is the same God, and you get saved the same way. By God's grace. And so we saw five stories from the Old Testament that pointed us to the grace of God. This morning we have five stories from today. Five stories from today that point us to the grace of God. And so I've asked Kim and Mark Wister to come on up here first. And they're going to tell us a story of where they were in life and how God reached out to them and brought them to saving faith, and I'm looking forward to hearing that story, and then we're going to go on from there with three more stories. So good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Kim. Steve.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here to tell us the story of God's work in your life. Let's hear it.
Absolutely. Good morning. I love telling my story. At work, I do a lot of talking, but there's nothing I enjoy more than telling my story of how God brought me into his kingdom. And I think my story is relatable to anybody, but just to get a show of hands, if you're between 15 and 30 years of age this morning, raise your hand. Okay. I think my story is probably going to be most applicable to you or relatable to you. I joined the kingdom of God. He brought me in on June 1st, 1986. But my story starts well before that. In 1976, I was then dating this really cute girl who I ended up marrying. That's an important fact. I ended up marrying her, started dating her then, and I had grown up in a church. And as a kid, I played church. I showed up on Sunday mornings. I occasionally read some scripture verses. I occasionally threw up a half-hearted prayer. I would have said I was a Christian, and that was my life. And when I was 20 years old, Kim and I went to see The Omen, a movie. And on the way home, I'm not sure why right then. Hit the pause button for a second. So at 20 years old, I was doing all of the wrong things. So if you're between 15 and 30, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a little kid here this morning, I took cookies without asking. I stayed up after my bedtime. I didn't say please and thank you. I was doing all the wrong things. And for whatever reason, that night, God used that movie to convict me. For the first time in my life, I knew that God was not happy with me. I knew that if I died that night, I would go straight to hell. And I remember going home and getting in my bed and praying to God and started creating a bargaining list. And in the context of the New Testament, in the context of the books of Matthew and Mark, and seeing Jesus going along, building his kingdom, and coming to people and saying, drop your nets and come follow me. That's exactly what Jesus said to me. He said, I don't want a list. I want you. I said, no. No, I don't want to be religious. I don't want to pass out buttons in the airport. I said, no. And just like in the Gospels, well, Jesus kept walking, right? You see, he's walking along places. He doesn't stop and stay there forever for people to change their mind. He kept going, and he left me. And so for the next 10 years, it was King Mark. I ruled my life, and nor did I have any conviction about it. I had no misgivings. It was all about me until 10 years went by, And my life was a disaster. It was rotting from the inside out. It was falling apart. Kim and I almost got a divorce. And I got on my knees. June 1st, 1986. Fortunately, Jesus happened to be in Attleboro that morning. He stopped by 217 Maple Street on the second floor. And he said, come follow me. I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, you've shown me that I can't run my life very well at all. He said, I want you. And that day, he brought me into his kingdom, and he changed me. He changed me forever. It's a one-way transaction. And that began a marvelous, marvelous process in our marriage. Within 24 hours, we had confessed to each other everything, forgiven each other, put our marriage on the right track, started loving each other, and had an insatiable desire to read God's word. And we started reading that book, that big coffee table Bible, and the words were jumping off the pages as if we had never read them before. That was the day that he brought me into his kingdom.
I don't remember dates the way Mark does. I can tell you that similar circumstances. I was very self-absorbed, in my life through high school, through college, even during our time of dating, although I loved him, wanted to marry him, but I was still pretty focused on me. Doing things I shouldn't have been doing, making bad choices and decisions along the way, and multiple times looking at my life and kind of surveying the landscape and saying, yeah, I should make some changes. I'm going to change. Starting today, different decisions, different way of doing things. And that would last maybe a week or two, and then I'd start falling back into my own selfish ways. And then, lo and behold, on the very same day, June 1st, 1986, as Mark said, God was passing through Attleboro, and I was there in the same house. he was on the second floor. I was on the first floor. And at the same time, God got a hold of my heart. And I knew I was making a mess of things. Mark and I had actually just the night before had a conversation about maybe it's time we parted ways. This isn't working. And that morning in church, the pastor, who actually was not, come to find out later, he, and that's a whole different story, he wasn't a follower of Jesus, but he was doing a job, and he was given a message. And the message he gave was something to the effect of, he told a story about two women who were having a conversation, and one woman made a comment to the effect of, well, you know, I've always gone to church and done all the Christian-y things, and I just assume that God, you know, God's going to take me to heaven someday, and I'm a Christian. And the other one said, well, no, just because you're going through the motions doesn't mean that, and you know, you need to make a decision to follow Jesus. He's not going to chase you around. He's not going to do it for you. He's standing there. He's waiting for you to follow him. And those words struck me for the first time. And I'd gone to church my whole life, and it never really clicked for me. And so I got home from church that morning, and we were still not sure what was going on with our marriage. Maybe this might be our last day together. And I was in the kitchen, and I just started praying, God, I don't want to keep living like this. This is a roller coaster ride, and I don't like it. Okay, I guess I want to follow you. I want to do things your way. I want you to take charge. I want you to be in control of my life, because obviously I'm messing it up royally. I can't even keep my marriage together. And a few minutes later, Mark came downstairs, and we started talking to each other and conversing about that morning in church and the message that was given and what did we each get out of that. And we both said, yeah, we don't we don't want to do this. And we realized that we wanted to follow Jesus, and we talked about it, and we said, yeah, you know what, let's put God in control. When you say we put God in control of our marriage and our lives, and we did. We pulled out that honking Bible thing, giant thing, weighed about 35 pounds, and put it on the table and opened it up and started reading and started praying together. And and then God put us in a church that was wonderful, and we had somebody come and teach us week by week the scriptures, and it was awesome. And what I guess the thing that stands out to me the most, Mark and I were talking about this yesterday, is as I made the decision to follow Jesus, it was because I knew my life here on earth was not what it could be. It wasn't abundant. It wasn't full of joy. All the things that Jesus promised, I wasn't feeling it. And so that's why I turned my life over to him. And then a few weeks later, someone from the new church we were going to came over to do a teaching with us. And he explained to me that I had eternal life in heaven. Like I had a reservation in heaven someday because I had given my life to Jesus. I didn't even realize that when I made the decision that I just wanted to follow Jesus. I just knew I wanted my life better here. And when he told me that, I was like, wow, a bonus. I get to go to heaven too. So I got a great life while I'm here on earth, and I got heaven to look forward to. That to me was the most exciting part of it all. So there's my story.
Thank you, Kim. Paul, come on up here. Paul McGowan is going to share the story of how God worked in his life. To God be the glory. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning, Steve. Great to be here. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus, and to God be the glory, of course. Great to be here. Steve called me Friday, and he said, could you do this? Could you do this testimony? I said, sure. One thing he failed to mention is that I was going to follow Mark and Kim. Come on, Steve. But anyhow, I'm very happy to give my testimony today. Just to summarize what my story is, it's a story about a religious guy who God came to get kind of late in life. I'm 64 years old, and God came to get me about 12 or 13 years ago. Prior to that, I was really a religious guy. Going all the way back to my childhood, born into a very strict Roman Catholic family. My parents were wonderful, but they were very, very devout Catholics. They had been born into a religion. I had been born into a religion. So I have sort of a kinship, a connection with the Apostle Paul. So as later in life, when I started to read the Word of God, I saw, wow, this guy was born into a religion as well. And I really connect with that. As a child, went to Catholic school. I was an altar boy. I was one of those little kids with little black and white outfits on. And I know many of you actually came out of the Catholic Church, so I think many of you understand what I'm talking about as I give my story today. Went to this Catholic school. Ironically or sadly, I found out many years later there was a priest at our school who I still remember who was an absolute monster. He was sexually abusing kids at our school, which was a bad story. But when I found out later, when I was probably 45 years old, when the word came out about that, and when I saw how the church handled it, I was just appalled by that. And I think that might have been the beginning of me starting to go in the direction of the Lord and wanting to know the truth. But later, while I was in the church, when I was in my 30s and 40s, I was a lector. I was a Eucharistic minister. So I was in the church. And, of course, my wife and I, Pat, who's here today, we raised our kids in the Catholic Church. We, CCD, all of that Catholic teaching. But I think, the key thing for me, the important message is that the whole time I was in religion, I always believed that if someday I got to heaven, it was going to be because somehow I was good enough. Somehow I qualified. Somehow I was maybe holy enough or religious enough. And then as I had no idea what this good news was all about. As a matter of fact, I've lived up in this area for 30 years, and I drove by this church many times when I was still Catholic. And if someone had asked me, Paul, you know, you're Christian, right? I would have said, yeah, of course, I'm Catholic, right? Well, tell me what the good news is. I would have said, I have no idea. I have no idea what the good news is, right? Praise be to God, I know what the good news is now. That God wanted to give me an amazing gift that I could never, ever earn. And I really didn't deserve it. And that's the good news. So so for me, about probably 13 years ago or so, there were things going on in my life. Not so good. I had things going on with my work that weren't so great. I have five children, and four of them are, at that time, they were between the ages of 16 and 25. So maybe you can understand a little stressed out time of my life. But you know, I had these four kids and difficulties going on, and God put it on my heart to just, I just wanted to know the truth. I wanted to know the truth. You know, is the religion I'm in, is this true? Because I was always told that I'm in the one true church. And God put this, like, as I've said to my wife, it's sort of like it was a divine dissatisfaction in my heart. I just wanted to know the truth, and so I started to, I bought myself a Bible. I started attending a Bible preaching church. I started to listen to every preacher I could on Sundays. And I came to an understanding of this concept of grace, which was like, this is going to be hard for me to deal with, because I had grown up with this, got to do this, got to do that to please God, etc. And so I just came to this place of understanding. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 is a key verse that anyone coming out of religion would want to maybe memorize. You know, Paul reminds the Ephesians, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And when I got that down, I was like, I knew I was heading in the right direction. You know, how can I wrap this up? I just, you know, that's why I can't really pinpoint a day when I really realized that God had saved me. But I can remember driving home one day from work, and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just said it over and over again, and there were like tears coming down my face. And you know, this guy right here, this completely imperfect guy, is somehow perfect in God's sight now, and praise be to God. So.
Thank you. I love hearing stories how God works. What's interesting in different stories is God works in different ways with different people, and each of you probably has a very different story to tell about how God broke through wherever you were. My own story, I was 5 years old, September 10th, 1957, when God broke through and saved my soul. Your story is probably different than that. It's unbelievable. God works in many different ways. So let's listen to the story of Christine and Stuart McKellar. Good morning. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Christine McKellar. And it's my husband, Stuart, and my daughter, who's a little upset out there, but yeah. So a little bit about me. I grew up in a Christian family. I went to Christian school. Anything there was to do that was, you know, remotely church related, that's where we were. So I think at a very young age, I had a saving faith in Jesus, and his life and his death and his resurrection. And it was something, you know, just something very exciting, very passionate, you know, lots of notes and journaling and, you know, highlighting my Bible as a, you know, 8-year-old, the whole thing's highlighted. But yeah, it's as time went on, it sort of, you know, my faith became very legalistic, lots of rules, you know, tick boxes, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I saying the right thing? Do I have the right answer? You know, did I talk to the right people? You know, it was very, very much a legalistic thing. And yeah, along with that came, you know, a critical attitude, you know, judgmental spirit, a lot of pride. And I think maybe just about high school, end of high school, sort of into college, I decided that it was too hard. I couldn't do it. You know, as much as I tried, you know, I couldn't always make the right choices and you know, tick all those boxes. So I decided, you know, I'm going to set God aside. And it was a, you know, a very conscious decision. I remember saying, you know, I don't want God to be a part of my life anymore. And there wasn't, you know, nothing extremely radical or different, but just a conscious decision that, you know, I was going to live my life for myself. And, you know, my conscious decision, God was still there, just, you know, gently and you know, quietly pursuing me. In little things like, I had a friend who commented about a sunset once, and my first thought was, oh, God made that. You know, what a creative God. What an awesome God. And I deliberately, you know, mentally squashed that thought because, you know, God, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm doing, you know, my own thing. It's too hard to live, you know, life like that. And then at the same time as well, I was working for my town as a camp counselor. And I had a friend who was working at Christian summer camp. And she had asked me to come work at Christian summer camp with her. And I was like, no way, no thank you. That's not what I want to do with my summer, Christian overnight summer camp. And then at the same time, I had a lady in church who asked me to do a Bible study with her. So I was doing that and, you know, working. I don't even remember what book it was, but we were, you know, working our way through that. And then as well, my friend's mom, every time she saw me, she said, Christine, I'm praying for you. And every time I thought, don't pray for me. I don't want you to pray for me. No, thank you. And so through, you know, that those situations and other situations and circumstances, I came to realize that I was living in the gray. You know, I was, you know, one foot in both camps, and I had a choice to make. I could either choose, knowing what I know about God's grace, about his love, about Jesus' sacrifice and Jesus' love, And yeah, God's overwhelming mercy, I had a choice to either turn my back on that or fully commit my life, not just to be a Christian, but to live a life for Christ. And so I went out and I bought a Bible. I already had a Bible, but it was a Bible that had been, you know, given to me or passed down. So it was in April 2008, I went out and bought a Bible, and that was just a pivotal moment in my life where, you know, that was me deciding, you know, from here on out, I want to glorify God. I want to live for God. You know, I want to be more like Christ. And yeah, since then there's been growth, there's been challenges. You know, it hasn't always felt nice because there's a lot of me that is not like Christ. And there's a lot of things that, you know, God is working out in me. My critical attitude and my pride, and just my identity in Christ. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister. But first and foremost, I'm a daughter of God, and I'm beloved by Him. And He, yeah, just pursues and is and wants a relationship with me and with each one of us. So, yeah, that's my story.
Good morning. My name is Stuart McKellar. I'm from Edinburgh in Scotland, where I was born and raised. I was born into a Christian home. Mum and dad, two brothers, went to church every Sunday, sometimes unwillingly. I went to see my friends. I was part of the youth group, part of the Bible, you know, the weekend youth groups, the scouts, all of that stuff. So I knew the Bible. I learned the stories. I heard about it, but I wasn't interested. I was there because my mom and dad told me to be there, and I wanted to see my friends. So I knew the truth. You know, I knew it was there. I believed the Bible was true. I was surrounded by people praising God, thanking God, you know, leaning on Him, You know, I couldn't deny there was a God. I knew it was true. And being in the church, you're confronted with the gospel. You know, what are you going to do with that news? And when I was about 11 years old, it hit me. I was like, right, I got to make a decision. There's no sitting on the fence. So when I was 11 years old, I prayed the prayer, and I thought, right, I'm on the list. I'm on the list. I'm saved. And the truth is, you know, the next 3 or 4 years of my life didn't really change very much. You know, I was just like the guys at school. I was a Sunday Christian. I had this ticket in my back pocket, a golden ticket, which I called salvation. And on a Sunday, I brought it out and I said, yeah, I'm on the list. I believed it, you know. So I thought I was all set. When I was about 15, 16, I started reading the Bible more. That's what Christians do. If you're on the list, you read the Bible. So I read the Bible, and believe it or not, the Holy Spirit works through the words in the book. And God started tugging on my heart, and started using people in my life, showing me what it looks like to be a Christian, to walk every day in freedom. And I saw that, and it was entirely different to how I was living. I was a hypocrite. I was walking two lives, you know. And that year was amazing. Looking back, I read the Bible more. I got to know some older guys in the church who they walked in faith. They, you know, their whole life was around what God had done for them. And in that year, I remember just being broken down by and overwhelmed by God's love for me, just being in tears, you know. And that year, I started to share my faith with the people around me at school. It was kind of this secret that had come alive in me, and I started sharing it. I got baptized that year when I was 17, and since then, I've been trusting in God each day. I've been trying. You know, it's a process. That was a long time ago now. And since then, there's been a lot of ups and downs in my life. God has brought me through all of them. And he still is. There's still things that we struggle with. I personally do. We definitely do as a married couple. There's things, you know, in life, no one's perfect. And God is still doing work. And I can look back and I can see God in every single step of my life and how he's blessed me. Even when I wasn't enjoying it and when I knew I wasn't even aware that God was blessing me in that trial at the moment, but God has brought me through that, and now here, standing here in 2018 in the States, and 29 years old, I'm amazed by what God has done for me, blown away, mm-hmm. And I'm just learning more and more every day to accept that freedom. That's what it is. You know, I try to live my own life and take control, do things in my strength, and more and more, I'm just learning to. The more I let go, the more God blesses me, and the more God does his work. And that's my prayer for myself and for all of you, that you can just let go and receive the freedom. Like we sang, I'm lost without him. No other place I'd rather be than in his will. Thanks.
Thank you, Stuart. Thank you, Christine. I love hearing the stories, and maybe you have a story that you'd like to tell. If you do, I'm going to ask you to tell me, okay? Reach out to me, text me, or email me, or come and see me and say, Steve, I'd love to tell people how God saved me. So you connect with me, okay? So we can get your story. It's possible you're sitting here this morning and you're not really certain, you're not really sure for yourself where you are spiritually, not really sure what your relationship with God is at. Not really sure if you died today what your eternal destiny would look like. You can know. You can know the answer to those questions. So if you're uncertain today, I invite you to come up after the service. You come up and let's make a time to get together and have coffee, and we're gonna talk a little bit and love to show you how you can be confident about your relationship with God. You can be confident that your sin is forgiven. You can be confident about your eternal destiny after this life. So you come and see me. Coffee's on me. Let's talk it through. I'm going to ask Brian to come on up here and lead us in a closing song. In a moment, the ushers are going to pass the offering bags. If you're a guest this morning, no obligation on the offering. If you want to let us know you're here, put some contact info on that blue card in the pocket of the chair in front of you and drop it in the offering bag when it passes in a couple of minutes, and we'll we'll be able to reach out to you. But if you're regular here, good news, give generously as God has blessed you. Brian?
All right, let's stand. Just listening to these stories, these amazing stories of grace and how God's unfailing love comes through. So let's sing of that.